This is Doug Miller. For all of you would-be missionaries out there, and I hope that's all of you, let's see some missionaries being sent out by the Lord. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand to speak into this microphone and to know that the Word of God is going out with power. Not because I'm the one talking about it, but because the power is in the Word itself and the blessing is in the Word, and God has promised that it will never return to Him void. And, you know, there's a great comfort in that to a guy like me, because I don't have to wonder or worry about whether I'm doing this right or wrong. All I've got to worry about is, am I putting the Word out? And I trust that you're praying that I am, because that's certainly my prayer and the prayer of all of us involved in Dialogue Ministries. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out. And as you've heard me say many times, we cannot exist without you, our listeners. You are as much a part of this ministry as any of us who are involved down here on this side of the mic. And we are absolutely dependent on you for your prayers, for your support, for your word of mouth advertising, for just encouragement. And we would always love to hear from you. I say that only because it is absolutely the truth. If it's no more than a line or two, we get notes from people. It doesn't amount to much, but you cannot imagine how encouraging it is. So let us hear from you. Where you are, what you're listening to, any questions that we might answer, questions that you might have, any help that we might be able to give you. Materials, free copies of these broadcasts, absolutely free. Of course, if you're online, well, you can pull down the copies of the broadcast and listen to any of them, so that should be no problem. And incidentally, let me give you our mailing address, and then I'll give you our web page address and all of that. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org, dialogueministries.org. Or if you wish to email us, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net, dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. Okay, let's see. I think we need to get into the Bible. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to chapter 13, verse 1, and call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, we have got here a sort of a first mention. This is the first time, in a sense, that we have seen the church sending out missionaries, at least out among the Gentiles. Now, certainly, the church at Jerusalem sent some people out from time to time. But here we have people, in this case, Paul and Barnabas, who are going out on a missionary journey that will take them way out into the wild blue yonder, as it were. And it is amazing to see what's going to happen here with these men. So it's very, I think, worthwhile to see how this was done and to see how the Lord did it. So let's just read together here. Now there were at the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Kind of interesting, this guy who had been brought up with Herod, and we saw the end of Herod at the end of chapter 12, but here was a guy who had been brought up with him, and yet he's on the right side of the line. If you were listening to the broadcast last week, I talked about this. I mean, Herod and those who were after Herod and calling Herod a god and you know, being the usual kind of toadies and that you find hovering around politicians, they were on the wrong side of the line. They lose. But here is a guy who was brought up with Herod, and yet he wasn't over there declaring Herod to be a god. He was one of the teachers in the assembly at Antioch. Isn't that wonderful? I don't care where you were born, to whom you were born, how you were raised, you don't have to stay in that stroke. You can be something different. And Manaen was, and he was apparently the foster brother of Saul, or Herod, rather. And we see also that Saul, the man we know as Paul, was also one of these individuals. And at this point, he is still being called Saul, isn't he? And I want you to notice about this church in Antioch. There were, without a doubt, many Gentiles connected to this church. This was not like the church in Jerusalem at all. Well, I say not at all. That's probably not the correct way to look at it. I'm sure there were many similarities, certainly in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, in their belief in the Bible as the Word of God. These things are common to all churches. And yet every church has its own character, doesn't it? There's not an assembly of saints out there anywhere that's going to be just like another group or another assembly down there. And yet, there are certain things that they all have in common without which you cannot have a Christian church. Now, you've heard me say this on here before, and this is a little rabbit trail, but let's just go off on it for a minute. You've heard me say this before. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you, and when I say in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't mean some wishy-washy belief about him as a great teacher and moralist and all of this kind of stuff that you hear out there. I am talking about, do you believe that Jesus indeed was very God, of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father? Do you believe that he was made a man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth? Do you believe that he was the sinless, spotless, holy Lamb of God, who in the fullness of times and by the will of his Father went forward and went forth to a place called Golgotha, where he was crucified? Do you believe that he bore the sins of the world, and more importantly, friend, your sins? Do you believe that he fully discharged that debt, was buried, and rose again the third day, and ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he is seated today in glory at his Father's right hand, from whence he will come to judge the quick and the dead and establish the kingdom of God on this earth? Friend, if you don't believe any of those things, or even all of them, you and I are not going to have fellowship with one another as believers, because there's something you've failed to grasp. You cannot reject that, those things I've just been talking about, and be called a Christian, not by me. Someone might say it doesn't matter, but I won't be the one to do it. But friend, if you are listening to me, and if you believe the things that I just said, give me your hand. You are my brother. You are my sister. and your denomination does not matter one iota to me. I don't like denominations, never have since I've been saved, and I'll go on not liking them. I don't put any stock in that at all. You give me your hand, brother, sister. Now, the church that you go to may not be like the one I am in, because I'm in a very small little assembly, and we, you know, gather together on Lord's Day to remember the Lord in the breaking of bread, and you may not do it the way we do it. But I want you to know something. This church at Antioch wasn't like the one in Jerusalem either. There were differences. You can be guaranteed that there were differences. But they had individuals in Antioch who were teachers. And these teachers, I can assure you, were raised up by the Lord. And there were prophets in those days that were able to prophesy. And these were raised up by the Lord. This is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the church, to the assembly, by the resurrected, glorified Christ. And these were gifted men. These were gifted men. And incidentally, if you have ever, this is another little rabbit trail, but just let me go off on these and humor me for a while. If you have ever been in a place where you had a gifted individual to teach the word, and this man was indeed gifted, I want you to know, you knew that, didn't you? You understood that here was someone with a very special gift. How do you know Holy Spirit gifted people? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you how. When anyone is exercising a spiritual gift, the hearts of those who are under the exercise of that gift, a teacher, for example, if you're sitting there listening to this teacher, the hearts of those individuals will be drawn to Christ, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And if you have an individual who is operating and is just, you know, I don't care how eloquent he may be, if all he is doing is drawing people to himself, if people are saying, whoa, what a wonderful speaker this is. Well, that's what Herod did back in chapter 12, wasn't it? Yeah, the voice of a God, not a man, yeah. If you think that, I hope you went to his funeral, because he didn't last long, did he? But these are spiritual teachers in chapter 13, individuals raised up by the Lord. And look at what these guys were doing. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. And as they were doing this, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away, or literally, they let them go. They let go. Now, this is important, and I hope you catch this, and I hope you get this. Let me tell you something. Let me get on some toes. I do that a lot, don't I? I don't know what's the matter with me, but listen. There are all kinds of people out there in the churches today and in Christendom and out there in the world that the Lord never sent out there, but that they think He did. I mean, they think the Lord has called them, and there's no evidence of it whatever. And how do you know this? Well, let me just give you some hints here. The Lord never called anyone to do anything without giving them the ability to do it. Would you agree with me on that one? Would you agree with me on that one? I hope you do, because if you don't, you're in a lot of trouble. There are all kinds of, we've got a system nowadays working in the church, and it's called the theological seminary. Now, I'm not going to mince any words on this one either. These theological seminaries have poisoned the wellsprings of many a productive church and ruined many a good church. And the kind of nonsense and lies that are being spewed out of so many of these theological seminaries, it should be evident to all of us. Now, if you have, I could name them by name. One of these days I'm going to do it, I think, but I'm not going to do it today. these seminaries that are producing, that have teachers in them, that were raised up in this so-called higher criticism, and they are teaching absolute lies, and what they are doing comes right out of the pit, and they are producing preachers and ordaining them and sending them out there. And if you've ever sat under any of this teaching and preaching, it is dreadful. It's terrible. I know individuals out there who are ordained, and they are called the Right Reverend this and, you know, this and that. I don't know these titles that they give themselves. And they get up there in the pulpit and they open their mouths and they would put an insomniac to sleep. Or they preach these little sermonettes and there's no power to them at all. And there is no one that is learning anything, and there is no one that is profiting from any of it. And why they're out there, who knows? Because it is very obvious the Lord didn't call them. But our seminaries have the idea, the mistaken idea, that they can take an individual and teach them how to preach. Well, yeah, I guess so. But you know what they can't do? They cannot give them the gift. They cannot make them gifted teachers. They can only make them academicians. But when the Lord raises up a teacher, and when the Lord calls someone, and when the Lord sends them forth, friends, everyone around knows it. There's no question about it. You listen to these individuals, and you're not sitting out there going to sleep. You can't get enough of it. You look down at your watch as this individual is finishing, and you say, "Where did the time go? Man, don't stop. Keep on." And that's what we have here. This is the Holy Spirit that called, in this case, Barnabas and Saul. Now, it's interesting because there were a number of them here, Simeon and Niger and this Manaean. They also were teachers. Holy Spirit didn't call them, though. He said, as it were, "You guys, you stay right here in Antioch, you go on preaching, and you go on teaching right here. This is where you're needed. Two of you, I need to do something else." Barnabas and Saul. Notice he calls them by name. Now, is it true? Would it be a true statement that the Lord doesn't call all of us to be missionaries? That would be a true statement. Would it be a true statement that not everyone should go out to India or Africa or down to South America or even down on Skid Row in our cities and towns? That would be a true statement. Would it be true that some people are to stay behind in the assembly and work in the assembly locally and do what the Lord has called them to do in the assembly? That would be true. Get no argument out of me there. But I can remember one time I was talking to a group of people about missionaries and the need for missionaries and all of this. And one of the women in the group very hastily spoke up and said, "I don't think the Lord wants everyone to do that." And I said to her, "You're right. The Lord doesn't want everyone to do that." And I said to myself, "But you're not going to do it no matter what he wants, are you?" I just said that to myself. I didn't say it to her. But it was very obvious to me that she simply wasn't open to this. Why do I think that? Because of the hastiness of her response. I don't know about these individuals in Antioch here, but I would guess that every one of them there would have been open to going forth if the Lord had called them by name. These individuals were praying, they were fasting, they were teaching, they were committed to the Lord, and I can't imagine that if the Holy Spirit had said Simeon and Niger, that they wouldn't have eagerly gone. And let me ask you, how open are you to the Lord's calling? How open are you to what the Lord, I don't know what the Lord wants you to do. He may want you to stay in the local assembly there. You may not have the particular gift of teaching. You have some gift. It may not be teaching. It may not be preaching. But nevertheless, I think we all ought to be open to being used of the Lord, however the Lord has called us. Now, here are individuals and the Lord, the Holy Spirit in this case, by name calls them and says, separate them unto me. Separate them. Separate to me, Barnabas and Saul. And any kind of work that you are called to do of the Lord and by the Lord is basically a separation unto the Holy Spirit to be used by him. And I hope I'm not being too arrogant or will be thought arrogant to tell you that that's what dialogue is. At some point, the Lord put his hand on his ministry and on me, and here we are. But the separation is unto the Lord, and he is the one to whom I am responsible, and anyone involved in dialogue is responsible, and anyone out there. It is to God that you are answerable, whatever work you are doing for him, because the separation is unto him. And notice, I have called them to a work, and friend, it's work. It is work. And you will notice here that they, the people there in Antioch, prayed and fasted and laid hands on them and sent them away, or literally, and then let them go. They let go. Now, Paul, writing to Timothy, back in the second letter of Timothy, instructs Timothy. I'm pretty sure it's the second letter. I just did this off the top of whatever head I have left. He says, lay hands suddenly on no man. That is to say, don't be hasty commending people to the Lord's work. That is serious business. And let me show you how serious it is. In this case, this church at Antioch laid hands on these men, and the laying on of hands in this case, and in any case where you're commending someone to work, to any work, is an indication that you are in it with them. There is an identification going on. You are identifying with them. That's what the laying on of hands is about here. And they laid hands on them, but then they let them go. When you put someone out there and commend someone to the Lord's work, you don't keep strings on them like they're some kind of puppets. You've commended them and put them in the hands of the Lord. And once they get out there, there's no indication at all. Now, it's interesting, and we'll see later on, that Paul and Barnabas, they went out on their missionary journey, and they came back to Antioch again, and to tell them what had happened and what they'd been doing. I mean, the people at Antioch are very much involved in this ministry. And if you're in a church that has sent missionaries out, you're very much involved in that. You're a part of it, even if you didn't go out with them. You are still to pray for them and support them. And they let them go, but they let them go with prayers. Well, that's all we'll have time for now. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.